The ministry is half the Word of God and the other half people, right? Mm-hmm. Half of it is getting people the Word of God, but the other half is the people that you're getting it to. Yeah, and so people are, and some people are more work than others, like Hayden. Hayden is less work than others. So you thought I was going to go the other way. You never know. But, you know, there's always this saying goes, you know, the ministry would be great if it wasn't for all the people. But then if there was no people, there would be no ministry. I would rather have, let me think about that. I'd rather have some people to work with that you can work with than have nobody to work with, you know. Amen. And so let's turn over to 1 Corinthians. You've got it there. You don't need to turn there. You've got it on your page. The reason, you know, there's a bit of a situation. We say, you know, the handouts are primarily scriptures on them. We'd say, I'd rather just like everybody turns in their Bible. Right? Much rather everybody turns in their Bible. But the reality is, everybody won't turn in their Bible. Right? You're like, why? They just need to get better. Probably, but the people that we're really trying, the people are probably, she could come through, she could come through this way. Well, she's right to be so. No. And so the people that maybe are the ones that it's hard for them to find it. It's hard for them to get there and turn there and keep up. And this. So when we have something like this, it actually helps every single person instead of the ones. And the thing is, you can still turn there if you like. Nobody's holding you back. Say, no, Pastor won't let me turn. No, you can't. But we have this here as a great reference. And so, because I'm the one that starts and saying, I wish we didn't have that. I wish it was just everybody. But then you think it already takes us 3 weeks to get through one lesson. What would it take us then, right? Anyhow. Spiritual discipline. Spiritual discipline we're going to talk about. Who likes discipline? You like discipline? Yeah. You do like discipline. Sometimes you start with but discipline, I actually love discipline. Not the kind of discipline, not that kind of discipline, but the discipline in someone's life, discipline in your life, getting up on time, right? Getting to work on time. Don't you like coworkers that get to work on time? Amen. The worst, when you have coworkers that don't get there on time, and when they don't show up, they give you a phone call, right, brother? They give you a phone call. Hey, they didn't show up. You got to come. You wish other people had more discipline, right? Or when you see people come to work and they forgot their gear, right? We talked about the PPE, right? When they get to work and they forgot their gear, like, oh, And Brother Eddie, some of those jobs you can't do without the gear. It's not like, you can't do it. You can't go and do some of that stuff without, you know, I know gas masks and gloves, and probably you provide most of it. But if somebody's supposed to have had that ready and like, oh, yeah, I forgot. What about the parachute packers? Don't you want your parachute packer to have good discipline in their life? Man, you're putting your life literally in someone's hand. Discipline is important. Discipline is so important. There's military level discipline, and then there's Marine level discipline, which is a different level of normal military discipline. And you know, you say, why are Marines so? You know, they call them jarheads, call them this kind of. Why are they so? Well, because they're literally the ones that are coming up on land and where the enemy doesn't know we're there yet, and they're going to be people wanting to kill them. People want to kill you, like they see you, you're here, I want to kill you. discipline is really pretty good to have in your life, right? That's why I chose the Air Force. We are looking at instrument panels where other people want to kill equipment. Yeah. Anyway, I'm just saying discipline is important. And so when we're talking about discipline in our life, it's really some of what we would talk about would be the boundaries. Okay? We're talking about spiritual disciplines. We're talking about some disciplines in our life, but we're really kind of talking about some boundaries that keep us. We could talk about, you know, a fence is for what purpose? It's two purposes, isn't it? What does a fence do? Keep people out, and it also keeps people in. If you're prisoners, if it's prisoners, you're trying to keep them from getting out, or if it's children, right? Or animals. You know, you ever been to a zoo? You're glad the lion cage has tall fences, right? And some of these kind of things. But it also keeps people out, keeps danger from getting in, and so this kind of thing. So when I think about discipline, I'm thinking about in that kind of way of these boundaries that kind of lead and guide and protect us in these kind of ways. All right, let's start here. We're in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Would somebody like to read that, please?
So run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a captive.
Okay, so we're going to be dealing with this passage here for the next few weeks. Just how it's going to go. Maybe a couple weeks, probably not. So, we're going to see some illustrations of what Paul is talking, Apostle Paul is talking about. But it may sound counterintuitive what I'm going to say here, but spiritual disciplines are not for the purpose of making us more spiritual. Okay, let that sink in a little bit. Let that just think of that for a moment. Spiritual disciplines are not to make us more spiritual, okay? So, nor are they to be heavy impositions of religious rules or tradition. Okay, so do fences? Let's just use that illustration. Do fences make us more spiritual? No. Well, I got bigger fences. I'm more spiritual. Come on, you know I've got. Maybe let me use another word. I've got higher standards. So because I have higher standards, I'm more spiritual. Is that how that works? No. Nor are we just trying to build taller fences so that we can impose more religious rigor on us. Right? Make sense? Y'all following me now? You kind of see where I'm going with that? Make sense, everybody? This is a challenge. So when we deal with these kind of things, there's a ditch on both sides of the road, isn't there? There always is. And so we want to be in our right lane without making, we don't want to make the discipline, the actual, what we look at as our spirituality. Have you ever seen that in Christianity, among Baptist churches, among Christian people? Right? Our standards, if I'm going to use that word, our discipline, I think discipline and standards can maybe, some of those can become our spirituality. Look what I do. Look at how great my fence of standards and discipline is. Well, if that's our case, then we should build the fences to the sky, right? But then it becomes, So what we end up doing, though, is then we impose more and more and more of this rigor on others, and even on ourselves to get something, and it doesn't provide that. So I want us to start that thinking right away. A Christian who is passionate to live a life pleasing to his Creator willingly, listen to what I'm saying, willingly places himself under complete submission to the Holy Spirit of God. Right? So someone who is passionate to live for the Lord, living for the Lord, and places himself under submission. Right? Under subjection to the Holy Spirit. Say, God, I want you to show me what to do. I want you to lead, guide, and direct me. So, just in this way, here's the illustration. We're going to kind of grab this a little bit. Just as an athlete places himself under the training of a, what? Of a coach. You ever had a coach? Anybody here ever been athletic? Some of you, a few of you, had a coach. You've had a coach, and a coach is... coaches are typically pretty nice, aren't they? Okay, wait, you had different coaches than me. No, coaches aren't very nice. Coaches and PE teachers. PE teachers are notoriously just mean. Come on, you can do it, get up, you know, just throw up and keep going. That was when I started football. When I moved to Texas when we were 12 years old. I was going into middle school, and I found out in Texas, I didn't realize this, but at the time in Texas, football is a religion. And I didn't know that. I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to go out for football. I didn't know much about football. It's my other friends were going. I'm like, yeah, let's go. Football practice started in the summer before school started. So we're like, okay, we go. And we're going. And, man, I think they were seeing how many people they could kill. And whoever's left over, they could be on the team. Right? And you're like, what is wrong? But I'm telling you, by the time you're done, if you submit yourself to the coach... the coach will make you. I'm not saying, let's keep this in balance, what I'm saying, you understand. But I'm giving it the concept. The coach will help you to be better at what you want to be, right? There's a subjection, the submission under that. Say, coach, I'm going to trust you that you know more than me about how to become what I ought to be. Because maybe you've been there before. And so for with God, maybe he, you know, maybe you created all this. So you know more than me, and you could. And this is this kind of sin. In fact, this is the parallel God uses in Scripture to teach us the importance of building discipline below the baseline. Okay, now we're talking about building discipline below the baseline. Now, so our culture today is actually pretty good compared to all of history. We're actually really in a wonderful place culturally, right, in America today. No, I'm kidding. I'm being very facetious. Our culture has dramatically shifted over the past several decades. People once believed in temperance. What's temperance? I mean, no, temperance, basic definition.
Well, it's limiting, just limiting yourself.
Yeah.
Not to excess.
It's really this, self-control. Yeah, limiting, say, I'm going to, temperance. So we once believed in temperance, in orderliness, personal discipline, and now there is rebellion toward boundaries, independence from God, and chaos. America today is a place of disorderliness, undisciplined living, and no self-control or temperance today. That's really depictive of America today. Just a full lack and a driven lack of discipline in our country today. There was a 2014 construction crew that was preparing a church building in Berkeley, California, of all places, for demolition. They discovered a capsule from 1948 hidden behind the church cornerstone. And inside the sealed metal box was a carefully wrapped Bible. Newspaper articles about the church's groundbreaking in 1948, and several pro-temperance, anti-liquor flyers written by the founding pastor, right, from 1948. The sad thing is, though, is that the building was being demolished because the church had already dwindled and disbanded and closed their doors in 1980. So here it was almost 35 years later. The church that had once stood for disciplines in in the Christian life over 50 years later no longer existed. Sometime during their ministry, this church succumbed to the pressure to turn away from disciplines. And they lost their disciplines of holiness and lost their way. I read about this article, and I don't know that it was a super great church to start with, but it was one, and now they were tearing it down to build apartment buildings. And the owner of the property said, he said, "We're going to keep this. This is an interesting piece of history." Wasn't looked at as some kind of place that was moved from. It was just looked at just an interesting piece of history of that period of time. It's not granted a guarantee that a solid church and its members will always remain solid. I think it's probably a given that that won't be the case without something. Just because the church, yeah, I think we're in the right place. Amen? Amen? Okay, three of us think that. Okay, I think we're in the right place today. But you know, that can change, man. I almost literally overnight. I was part of a church. I came back. I was in Bible college. Came back to church, my home church. I came back, and it was things. And there was a meeting. We were having some meeting. And I thought, man, this is, you know, it's a solid church. I'm talking about 2 weeks later, the church split in half. And the church, the part that split in half, it crumbled. The church part that stayed was weakened. And it was just like you thought up to that. It was a going and thriving church, had all the things that you would say would be a great church. Can literally unfold overnight. What keeps us focused on right and ground, and what keeps us on the right and grounded in truth is adhering to disciplines in our own lives. Okay, Paul wrote 1 and 2 Corinthians to a carnal church in the city of Corinth, right? That's what we find. But what he did is he used athletic racing analogies, right? That's the analogies that he used, is to teach the Corinthians the disciplines of a Christian life. Okay? So, is it fair to say an undisciplined Christian life is going to be a pretty weak one? I think that's pretty fair to say. An undisciplined Christian life. One that, so when we're talking about disciplines, what are some things we might think about? I'm sorry? Okay, that's a different kind of discipline. That is a discipline. But when we're talking about disciplines in our life, we're talking about what we submit ourselves to. Okay, you might say, yeah, okay, come on. Thank you, sir. May I have another time? But when I'm talking about disciplines in our Christian life, I'm talking about some things that we do in our life on a regular basis. Read your Bible. Good. That's right. When we're talking about disciplining our children or disciplining our students, right? There's some different things that we do in that way. That's you know, kind of consequence. But disciplines to keep us. So let me talk about when we were in the military. When I was in basic training, we had to iron our socks and our underwear. You know, I don't iron my socks and underwear anymore. I don't do that anymore. Matter of fact, after basic training, I never did that again. I threw them in, you know. So why would there be a discipline of doing something like that in that time of basic training? Okay, there's that. So you're doing the same thing. Why else?
Covers everything.
Obey orders. I think one of the great things is it taught us. You know what we had to do? We had to take our BDUs, our camouflage, our BDUs, and when we hang them in our locker, you had to have them so many inches between each space and all this. And if you had it, you know, after you wash it, new clothes, because they're all brand new, you know, you get the right. Strings will come out, and there'll be a string that we came with fingernail clippers and clipped those strings. Like, why was he doing that? Well, because we were being inspected on that. And you know what that calls us to do? Pay attention to details. Man, there was, I tried my dead level best to get the to get no man. The TI always found something. You know what it caused me to do the next time, every day, every time we had another inspect, to pay attention a little bit more. Pay attention more. Now, is it important not to have strings hanging out of her? I don't know. Is it important that you have your socks in a rectangle that no, I mean just underwear fold, you know, all this guy. What is that important? No, what was in, what they were being teaching was some discipline to pay attention to things in our life. And so when we think about it in that way, we're kind of getting to this this kind of area. And so when we see this analogy that's being used here of athletic racing, it's Paul's effort is to teach them something about how this relates to our Christian life. So this comparison would have been very relevant to the Corinthians because they were, what, the centerpiece, the place for the Greek Olympic Games right there in Corinth. And so they understood very well, they would have understood the discipline of an athlete. They had watched it. They had seen it. Those things. So to each of us believers, to believers, to Christians, a race has been set before us. When did that race begin? At salvation. Yeah. So we were automatically entered into the race. Some people, you know, you watch those racers and they get in those blocks. You know, they're just, they're there. It's kind of neat. You're like already down. You know, they'll start with the hand down, and especially if it's a sprint, particularly a sprint I'm thinking about, and they're ready. As soon as that goes, they're pushing, they're lunging forward. There's kind of that's how the Christian life starts for a lot of, for most people. I'd say you get saved, man, you're just church and baptism and church membership and being back at church and then doing other, and then church, right? It's like it's meaning like, why do we have church so much? Wow, man, because we're trying to get this thing started and trying to get something. What we realize is this is where a lot of our discipline is going to come from. You say, you think coming to church every service is that valuable? What makes it so valuable? So if you miss a service, are you going to be like a dwarfed or a stunted or you know, something wrong in your Christian life because something's going to be missed in your life because you don't have that? So what's the idea there behind all that being in all those places? It's discipline. Be in my place. Do you ever come to church tired? Anybody ever? How about this morning? Yeah, this morning, right? Maybe not this morning, but come to church tired. You ever thought, I'm just too tired. Why even go?
Realistically,
yeah. Sure. I mean, not me anymore, but there's times. I mean, as the pastor, I can't really get away with that anymore, you know. But there's times I'm like, man. You know what I'm thinking? I'm not going to even get anything out of it. Right? I'm too tired. I can't barely stay awake. I'm going to be struggling. What's my point? Or this one, I've got so much going on. I've got so much going on. I really need to not. And so, but you press through and say, no, I need to be there. And then you go. And sometimes it's exactly like, you know, I just struggled through it. And like, okay, now the amen goes and I'm out. And so, but you know, there's a discipline in it because sometimes I may be, sometimes maybe I'm in a state of mind. I'm not going to grab everything. But when I've made a discipline to say, I'm going to be there in the good or the bad, if I only decide I'm going to be there in the good, now what I'm going to do now is I'm going to be determining each time. Is this a good or a bad day? Right? Discipline says I'm going to make this a part of my life. Right? This is who I am. This isn't something I do. It's who I am. So I'm going to be there. And listen, sometimes you go to work and you're not as productive as other times. Right? Sometimes, you know, your relationships, family members will talk to you. And sometimes you're just not as pleasant as other times. Right? friends, you know, different things. So discipline just begins to give us those places to be in, the things that we're going to do. And so we're going to find that kind of thing. And so once we get saved, we jump into those things. It's like jumping on the blocks and we get ourselves in all those things that's going on. I tell somebody they come along, I said, here's what I want you to do. Here's what I tell people when they come along. Whether they get saved or they just come, I said, here's what I want you. I said, just come and get involved in everything that you can. Just be here and get involved in everything that you can. Say, if we, you know, come to every service that you can. If there's a fellowship dinner, come and stay, be a part of that. Just sit around. If you're going to come, if we got a church cleaning day, come to that. Come to that. Everything that you can do, just be involved in everything that you can. Why? Start building some discipline. Start saying, this is something that's important to my life now. And so this is really where that kind of thing starts from. 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27 gives us three important truths regarding discipline that we must learn in order to be victorious in our race. Number one, the purpose of discipline. The purpose of discipline. Know ye not that they which run in a race run how? All. They that run in a race run all. But one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. So, a purpose is what we would call an intention. Okay, our purpose is what drives us to make the choices that we make. So our lives are shaped by purpose throughout our life. For example, if a man intends or purposes to gain wealth, to be rich, he will work hard and research the most lucrative investments and the most lucrative way to invest his time, his energy, and his money. Right? If his purpose is to gain wealth. If a man's purpose is to raise a family, to raise children, to raise a legacy of children, right? A heritage, a godly heritage, it's going to be a little different than someone's purpose that is to gain wealth, is it not? It's going to have some different things. So our purpose drives, if a woman intends or purposes to become a professional musician, she will invest hours of practice and sacrifice other pursuits to develop that skill. We are living in a day where the average woman, can I just say it this way, the average woman's purpose isn't to raise children. It's not. The average woman today in our society, the average woman's purpose is not to raise children. So we will see women that purpose to do, that sacrifice in that area to do a lot of other things. You say, well, is that all bad? Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to get, they're not here, so I can say whatever I want about them, but it's being recorded. So what I mean by that is God has given us, by the way, I think if a man's purpose is to gain wealth, he's gone off track, right? We find these kind of issues, what God has given us versus what we purpose on our own. So there's a God-given purpose for spiritual discipline as well. So contrary to popular belief, spiritual discipline doesn't make us more acceptable in God's eyes. Okay, Christianity is not a works-based relationship. If I do more for God, God's going to be happier with me. That's not the way Christianity works. It's not designed that way. God didn't create it that way. It's not the more you do, the better God loves you. Man, I sometimes wished it was that way. Be easier to get folks to, you know, be disciplined. Well, if you want God to love you, you want God to do stuff for you, you're going to have to do stuff for Him. I think this is where false religion comes from. And I think we have to be careful not to be those that know that's not true to still slip into that ditch anyway. I have to be careful with that. I honestly, because I want to compel, right? I want to exhort. And sometimes the exhorting will push somebody right into a ditch and you find yourself, I'm exhorting them into, if you want to make God happy, then you're going to do all this stuff. You're like, oh man, I did, you know, and sometimes we don't get it until we look back. You're like, oh man, that's, it's not really what I meant to say, but it's exactly what I said. Right? So we could be, we could find ourselves in that same kind of situation as well. We've got to be careful with that. So spiritual discipline, it doesn't matter. So Christianity is not, there is, however, I was looking back to repeat all the things I already said. There is, however, a purpose for implementing discipline into our lives. Okay, A, to run the race, right? To run the race. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So we need discipline in our lives because we are running a race. Okay, this is clearly taught. Each of us is enrolled in this race, and we're registered. We got our number, right? Ever been in a 5K or a, you know, 2K, 1K walk, you know, or a marathon? Anybody done a marathon? Brother Bob did a marathon. None of the rest of y'all did a marathon. Let's all train together to get in a marathon. Who's in on that? Okay, just me. Johnson said, I'll do it. Oh, man, I'm kidding. Don't join with me on that. Okay. I'd like to maybe think about, you know, actually running a whole 5K without stopping parts of it. Walking. And then I don't know that I've done a lot of 5Ks. I don't know if I've ever ran the whole thing. You know why? Because I thought about training really hard. Anyway, just didn't get to it. Okay. So we're enrolled in this race and we'll only run honorably if we're wise in our discipline. So a runner doesn't just eat whatever he or she wants to eat before the race. You don't see whatever, you ever see people out there in races. This is so weird. I've been to some 5Ks and some of them, they'll give you alcohol afterwards. And they're like, I'm thinking, man, I'm just hoping I can keep in what's already in there. And they're in here, I'm thinking, what's wrong? I'm looking for, where's the water, you know? And but you see people afterwards, sometimes they'll eat spaghetti, get some carbs, and they're carbing up for this kind of thing. Usually that's a little bit longer race, not a 5K sprint, but some of these, they're carbing up and trying to get some of these things. You don't probably go eat, a plate of mashed potatoes and gravy before a race unless you want to see it again real soon. You know what I mean? It's funny, there's this 5K race we did. Last year, 4th of July, I think it was, and it was down in Melbourne, I think, is where we went down there. And, you know, the girl's like, Daddy, come run. I'm like, all right, I signed up, and then it was too late to get out of it. And so I went, and I'm just trying to survive. And you see people, they're trying it, and these guys, they're just running hard. And then you see, as you get on like that, you go across the bridge, and then you lap, and you come back. And on the way back, I mean, I'm still on this way. They're already on the way back. And there's over, we're by the Indian River there. All of a sudden got some extra fish food. You know what I mean? And they're just, you know, heaving, and I'm like, it just caused me to slow down a little bit more. Just thinking, you know, if you're a runner that wants to do well, doesn't just eat or drink whatever he wants to before the race. They don't let their minds wander on frivolous matters that distract them from the race. They focus on getting a good night's sleep, right? They say, hey, I got a race coming up. This is important. I've trained for it. I got a race coming up. I want to rest. I think this is a good discipline for believers, for church. Like, well, that's not really our race, but it's part of it's part of our discipline. And like, so if I know I've got church, I'm telling you, I try to be protective about my sleep on Friday, on Saturday night. I really want to get good sleep Saturday. The older I get as a pastor, the more I've learned I can't just wing it. I've got to be rested because I've got a lot of things that's going to go. And by Sunday night, I'm going to be wore out. My feet are going to, you know, this is just a different thing. And I'm thinking, man, how do these guys that are 70 do it? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? You know, and discipline, that's how. And so when we will say, hey, this is so important, I'm going to prepare well for that occasion. And so there's something important about it. And so they focus on the finish line and concentrate all of their efforts on running that race. Hebrews 12:1 uses the analogy of running a race for our Christian life. Somebody read that for us, please. Hebrews 12:1.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
Okay, so we're talking about in this race, we're going to lay aside the weight. What do you think are some of those weights? Okay. Like, okay, what are some of those distractions?
Family.
Yeah, get rid of your family. No. So some of the weights and sin, okay, we're talking about, I mean, some of your sin can be family if they draw you into sin. Only if you're an Indian.
Friends,
if they're also the one, if your friends are the ones keeping you up at night, hey, let's play some video games till 2 a.m. All right, one more game. Right? Then that's something you'd lay aside and say, you know, but sometimes it's our cares, our desires, our thinking, the other pursuits, these kind of things. And sin. He talks about these and setting aside those things of sin. And which doth easily beset us. We're not talking about, you know, the big stuff. We're talking about the things that are in our life that easily get us. So each one of us could be a little different on that. You know, like the sin of sarcasm, could hobbies? Yeah, sure. But it's particularly for us, you know, is there anything wrong with golfing? No, it's not sin in and of itself. But when it becomes the thing that takes us from our family, it becomes a thing from our responsibilities and from church. I mean, I tell you, Sunday morning tea time is a pretty popular thing, right? And not only, you know, with all these things. By the way, I don't think we don't need to get in our head that any kind of hobby is sin. I think that gets us into trouble. People that don't do anything but work usually have a warped character. You know, what do? I don't do nothing. Well, and you know, maybe your problem is you don't know how to make friends. Maybe the reason you don't do anything is going, the only people that can tolerate you are the people that have to work with you. Right? I'm not saying everybody has to. I'm not a hobbyist. And I'm not saying we have to be into all these things and all that, but there ought to be, we want to be careful that we don't make sin out of stuff that we ought to have. Here's what I'm going to say. Let me clean it all up with this. If our only discipline is like, I'm not going to do anything because I can't do anything without it getting in my way, then we haven't really learned self-control. Right? Yeah, if we haven't learned how to do things like, hey, I'd like to do something, but I'm afraid if I ever do that, it's going to destroy my life. Come on. Then you need to learn how to get some balance in your life. And we all need to do that. So there's kind of this thing. And so, listen, Paul understood that he was in a race, and he gives his testimony in Philippians 3, and you can sense the intense focus he directed in this race. Can somebody read for us Philippians 3, 7 and 8? I reference this verse so often, this passage so often. This is the thing. Paul recognized that to press forward in his race meant he'd have to implement discipline in his life. The things that used to be meaningful to him. No. The things that used to be meaningful to him, he had to count them as loss. No. Not just in the way they were a loss to him. That what I used to do, I don't bring into this new life all of the benefits and skills and well, I've done all this. No, he said, I'm counting all that. It got in my way. So that he could successfully run his race for Christ. He had to say, what I was before, I've got to realize what I was doing before was in the flesh. It was not for him. And so that thing, what I was before, I got to remove that from me, count it but loss, and so that I can now run this different. I got to run this race differently now. So if we desire to remain in the race, we must live disciplined lives. We need to be willing to lay aside weights and to run with patience. And that's what the disciplined life looks like. We got to put some things aside. That's why the Bible talks about all the time putting things off. Putting other things on. We put things up. We've got, I'm telling you, the Christian life that doesn't have some things to put off. By the way, it's not one time we put things off. It's constantly because the flesh, my lust doesn't just, he got saved, I'm going to quit lusting. No, it comes back. And new things come in your life that you didn't have before. And we got to constantly do this kind of thing. Of course, in the Christian race, we are not competing against each other. But rather against the obstacles of life. It's not to compare yourselves amongst yourselves is not wise. Okay? A successful athlete doesn't quit when he runs into an obstacle in the path. He, in the language of 1 Corinthians 9:24, runs all. The intent is to run the whole race. The whole race. Today's Olympic runners train for months and years. The same was true for the Greek Olympians in the first century. No one invests that much discipline and training into an event which they do not hope to win. Well, I'm just hoping I don't die. Okay, that's how I race because I'm not really an athlete. Right? I'm just hoping I can finish and respectably. For me, when I'm running a 5K, I'm hoping that I'm not going to be in the first half. I'm not going to be in the first half. I just want to be in like the second two-thirds. You know what I mean? I don't want to be the last third. That's all. I was running a race once at 5K. And I say a race, it just feels weird because I'm not really racing. I'm just trying to finish, right? And I did finish. I've always finished. But I'm running, and I've seen another guy, because a lot of times there's brackets based on age. And I seen this guy up ahead of me, and I'm like, man, he looks like he's my age bracket. And I'm just like, I'm just going to get ahead of him. Because it wasn't a huge race. It wasn't a lot of people. And I thought, if I can at least get ahead of him, I will beat somebody in my bracket. And I won't be the last one on the line there, right? So I'm just like, man, I'm kicking in. And I think he probably thought the same thing. And so, but we're both trying to pretend like we're just going, and so I went in front of him, and I'm like, and then I'm just, I don't want to be like, take off like I'm doing it on purpose, because then he might get aggressively competitive, and I'm toast. And so I'm just like, but I'd be kind of peripheral, and as he would get close, I'm kicking, and I'm just like hurting myself, but I'm like, I just want it. So I ended up, got to the end, and he wasn't my age bracket, and I ended up getting second place in that race out of three of us. And so I'm glad I did that. But, there's sometimes the thing of when we're going to get into that in this thing to try to finish, and we want to finish and we want to get there in a way to win. Spiritual discipline isn't an end in itself. It is a way of focusing on our efforts on the race that's set before us. These disciplines would include regular Bible reading and study, daily prayer, consistent church attendance, faithfully sharing the gospel, all these things. These don't happen without effort. But the effort involved is well invested. They allow us to participate in and to finish our race well. And so we're going to be talking about this over the next, it's definitely going to be a few weeks since I was terribly distracted today, and I got to have better discipline. I've got to put off some people that don't want me to have discipline. Amen. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful for your goodness to us and your direction. And Lord, I pray that you would give us a desire to be disciplined in our life, to build that below the baseline that would really make a difference in our life and in the lives of those around us. And Lord, pray that you'd have your will and way now this morning. We'll thank you in Jesus' name.